Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But it takes just a minute. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we're going to be back here in just one moment with our special guest, Pastor David Whitney. But just bear with us a moment here, and we'll be right with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back again, and with us is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. David, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Dr. Stan.
Well, I really appreciate so much your being with us today. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the Christian history of our country. So why don't you go ahead, and we'll be with you in just a moment. We're having a little problem here getting hooked up. But why don't you get started just telling our listeners about the Christian history of America?
Great. Hey, last time we were on the air with you, Dr. Stan, we talked about the importance of history and studying history. Basically shows God's plan, his story, that he has a sovereign plan for the human race. And we find what that plan is as we study Scripture. And the founders of our country understood that there was a plan that God had for the Western Hemisphere. And that plan is clearly spelled out. Actually, as Jesus was just about to ascend into heaven after the resurrection, he told his disciples what that plan was, that they were to be witnesses to him, starting in Judea and going on to Samaria and to the uttermost part, to the end of the earth. And the founders of our country understood that God had a plan, and his plan was to bring the gospel to the Western Hemisphere and to establish a society based upon the biblical principles of law, government, and economics. And that established society that God was going to bring to the Western Hemisphere was really for the well-being of the peoples who lived here already. That what we call Indians, of course, that we know was a misnomer, that Christopher Columbus thought he was in a different part of the world than he actually was, but that their well-being, that they would hear the gospel, respond to the gospel, and find Christ as Savior. They also understood that God wanted to plant in the New World a city on a hill, they said, as an example and a model for the rest of the world of what it meant to be disciples of Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm going to ask you to sort of hold that thought for a minute, and we're even going to let you just repeat it when our new station joins us here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And with us this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David, we just have a new station joining us, and the people who were listening a moment ago now are hearing some commercials. So why don't you repeat what you were telling us about Christopher Columbus and this idea that he had, that coming to this new world, he was going to be able to spread the Christian gospel, because this is never taught in school today.
Right.
This is why we've sort of given up Columbus Day, why our children are taught that Columbus was an evil white man, mm-hmm. Who was just after gold and slaves, whereas exactly the opposite is the truth. But everything has been done to deprive our people of a knowledge of the Christian history of our country. So pick up the story.
Yes, well, the understanding that God has a plan for history, that history really is his story unveiling and unfolding the advance of his kingdom until Jesus Christ returns at the last chapter, the end of history, and that God's plan was to take the good news, as Jesus said just before he ascended, to the ends of the earth. That's what he told his disciples. They were to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and therefore it was God's plan to bring the gospel to the Western Hemisphere. Christopher Columbus and the other explorers all understood this, and this was their motivating drive, and they realized that by bringing the gospel to the Western Hemisphere, or as they thought, or at least Christopher Columbus thought, to the Indies, it was to establish a society based upon biblical principles of law and government and economics, a society that would be for the well-being of the bodies of those peoples in those societies, as well as the well-being of their souls as they found faith in Jesus Christ, and to establish a society that would really be an example and a model for the rest of the world. When we think about what God accomplished in history and the establishment of our nation, the United States of America, we recognize that our nation is not the kingdom of God, but really it is the best that this world has to offer as it was designed by our founding fathers, because they built our country on a biblical foundation. Well, probably the earliest discoverers of America, you'd have to say, really were the Native Americans, and they came from different parts of the world. There's debates about where they came from. But the first Europeans were most likely the Vikings, and there's a very interesting history there, because the Vikings were Christians, and when they came to the New World, they came and brought their Christian civilization, but they made no attempt to evangelize the native population. They made no attempt to try to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ with the natives on the North American continent.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, David. All right, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And David was saying that the first group of settlers on the Northern Hemisphere were actually the Vikings. And this was, 10 or 1100, somewhere in there. But even though they were Christians, they made no effort to evangelize the Indians. They just established their colonies. And the colonies didn't last that long, did they?
No, they didn't. And, of course, archaeologists have discovered in Labrador and the other parts settlements that they had established. And, you know, it's interesting if you understand that history is the development of God's plan. And if God's plan was to bring the gospel to the Western Hemisphere, that is, to bring the gospel to the Native Americans who were living here at the time, the Vikings did not fulfill that plan. Either they, through foresight or lack of insight, did not understand God's plan or were not willing to evangelize as God had commanded them. So they left really no lasting impact on the Western Hemisphere. Their colonies were short-lived, and they left no impact except some archaeological ruins. Well, it was about 400 years later that conditions in Europe very interestingly led many people, including Christopher Columbus, to believe that Jesus Christ was about to return. They believed very sincerely that the second coming of Christ was upon them, and they understood, as they studied Scripture, that Jesus clearly said that there was one condition that would precede his second coming. And that was the condition that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the ethnos, all the nations, all the tribal groups, all the language groups of the world. And they clearly recognized that that task had not yet been accomplished. There was much of Africa that had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was much of Asia, you know, China and Japan and so forth, that had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they had a desire to spread the gospel to Asia and to Africa, but they faced a very difficult barrier, and interestingly enough, a barrier that has been re-energized in our day, and that barrier is the religion Islam. Islam had conquered all of North Africa, which used to be all Christian, you know, and conquered the Middle East, which again was largely Christian, and even conquered all the way up and defeated Constantinople in 1453. Which was the eastern headquarters of the Eastern Roman Empire, and the Christian Orthodox Church headquartered there. So these were, we need to understand the time frame in which Christopher Columbus lived. The Ottoman Turks were very powerful, and they were fierce warriors, and they were battering down on the eastern door of Europe, so to speak, all the way up to Vienna. I remember that there was a battle that took place right outside the gates of Vienna against the Turks that finally turned the tide on that side of Europe.
That was 1683, as I remember.
Yes, that late, so well into the Reformation. And actually, some of the reformers, Luther talks about the fear and trembling of the people that could lead them to repentance and revival as the Turks presented a very, very fearsome threat. On the other side of Europe, on the western side of Europe, the Muslims had crossed over the Mediterranean, and they had invaded Spain many years earlier, and they had progressively fought their way up to Spain, conquered all of Spain, and even I think it was in Tours in France where a battle was fought where they were turned back, and progressively the advance of the Christian forces were able to push them back into Spain and then conquer northern Spain. But it wasn't until the year, and this is a very important year, so it's good to remember this, the year 1492, that the Moors, that is the Muslims, were finally driven out of Spain. It was in January of that year, and just a few months later, Columbus was actually commissioned to begin his journey westward, as he believed, heading to the Indies. So that's a very interesting bit of history there, that Ferdinand and Isabella, you know, were not able, perhaps, to help Christopher Columbus, or they were too distracted with their own war to actually say, okay, now, what was that expedition you had in mind? We're interested in it now that we've secured Spain for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand the ferment and the mindset of the discoverers, Christopher Columbus and the others, was to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that was Columbus's stated goal. For example, what we read of his purpose for his mission, his purpose for taking it up, he said this in his book of prophecies that he wrote a number of years later, 1502. He said, "It was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, to sail to the Indies. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous illumination from the Holy Scriptures." And you might wonder, well, what in the world, what scriptures would have given Christopher Columbus such rays of marvelous illumination? And we don't have to wonder, because he told us in his own writings that there was one of the prophecies of Isaiah that was his favorite passage of scripture and gave him a great deal of comfort and encouragement, and that was Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 9. Let me read that. Isaiah 60 verse 9 says, "Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." Now, if you know a little bit about the geography of the Mediterranean, there's two Tarshish. There's Saul's home city, Saul of Tarshish, that's in modern-day Turkey. But there's a Tarshish in Spain as well. And so as Christopher Columbus read this, he said, yeah, there it is. It's referring to the ships of Tarshish. And, of course, Spain was the mighty naval force in the world at that point in time. And the ships of Tarshish first were going to take the message of the good news to the islands from afar, to those who are waiting to hear that good news, and to bring sons into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ from afar, as well as silver and gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God. So as he meditated on that passage of Scripture, Christopher Columbus had a clear sense that God had called him to fulfill this goal of bringing the gospel to Asia. Now, of course, he thought he was sailing to Asia. He did not realize the North American continent was there, and so he was not really thinking that he had discovered a new area. He just thought he landed on some islands that had not been explored previously, so he, you know, called them the West Indies and called the Native Americans Indians.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting that this part of history is never taught, not in our grammar schools, not in our high schools, not in our colleges, mm-hmm. and there's been an organized effort to rewrite history, and anybody who doubts that needs to get our book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, to find out how they have rewritten our history. And that is why, of course, the people who would destroy our country, who would enslave us, because they realize that, you know, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants, and that is exactly what they intend. That's why this information is not available to the average individual, and that's why the Institute of the Constitution and the program that you have and you offer, which we'll be telling our listeners how to get here very shortly, why it is so very important. So you pick up the story from there, David.
Yes, I was mentioning that Christopher Columbus was inspired by that prophecy in Isaiah, and he actually said that in his journal. He said, "For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps," and his critics would fault him on that. "It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied." So here's a man that has been, as you said, denigrated. You know, people call him he was just after gold, and he was after glory and fame, and had no good motives at all in what he did. And his own statement is he did this for the glory of God. He did this for the advancement of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Christ. And people say, well, wait a minute, what about the historic facts? Didn't Christopher Columbus, you know, bring a lot of gold back? Yes, he did. We need to understand that his journey was an investment. In other words, investors raised money and gave money to build the ships and to equip the ships and to pay the crew, and all those things took an enormous amount of money. And of course, these men were sending that expedition out not knowing that they would get anything back. It was a high-risk investment, a very high-risk investment. And so, for the return of their investment, basically that's why the gold had to be brought back to Spain to repay those who had invested heavily in this expedition. And the further evidence of what Christopher Columbus's purpose was is when he encountered the first Native Americans and what he had to say about them in his journal. This is his journal of October 12th, 1492, so this is just days after he had met the first natives, and he said, "I, in order that they might develop a very kindly disposition towards us, because I knew that they were a people who could be better, who could better be freed and converted to our holy faith by love than by force, gave to some of them red caps and to others glass beads, which they hung on their necks, and many other things of slight value, in which they took much pleasure. They remained so much our friends that it was a marvel. I believe that they would be easily made Christians, because it seemed to me that they belonged to no religion." Now, there's a statement of the heart of Christopher Columbus. He wanted to see these people become Christians, and he believed that he didn't say, well, these people are unintelligent, we can kind of really pull the wool over these folks' eyes. No, he said, these are very intelligent people. I respect them and admire them, and it seems that they don't have a religion, and I believe they can be easily converted to Christianity when they hear the truth and understand the truth. So his motivation from start to finish was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to these unreached tribes of people. Now, did Christopher Columbus make mistakes? Yes, certainly, and we know that God often uses vessels that are less than perfect. After all, none of us are absolutely perfect yet. We're on the road to that in the process of sanctification, but God used Christopher Columbus anyway, and if we understand what his heart motivation was, then we can see his mistakes in light of that and recognize what he really was attempting to do was bring Jesus Christ to the new world. And that's why those who hate our Christian faith and those who want to undermine the freedom that our Christian faith brings have sought to rewrite history, just as you shared with us, Dr. Stan.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney as we're going to go ahead and explore the Christian history of America, the history that you're never going to see discussed anyplace, because, of course, if you can destroy the faith of the people of this nation, why, you can destroy the nation. After all, where does our freedom come? Unlike any other country, our freedom comes from God. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in five glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and if you are interested in getting information on the Institute of the Constitution, we'll tell you how. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David, right now, before we forget it, why don't you tell our listeners how they can contact the Institute of the Constitution, get the videos, which are actually 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Eidsboe, and the kit and the videos by David Barton, how they can actually learn how to set up a program and help teach the very history you're giving today. Let's go.
Yes. It is a very easy process, Dr. Stan, because we've designed what we call a host kit. You're not teaching. Dr. Eidsmoe does the teaching in the 12 half-hour lectures, and David Barton as well. But it is hosting it, that is finding a place, perhaps your church. You could do it in your home or in a community center, any of those possibilities where you gather together a group of friends and family, fellow church members, co-workers, anybody from your community who is interested in learning about the history, the true history of our nation, as founded by our founding fathers, and what they intended with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And this is all put together in a host kit, and we can send that out to you if you call us at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, or if you have web access, you can catch us at www.iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And we encourage people all over the country. We've had a couple of graduations so far this month around the nation, and I know that next month there's a couple taking place in California where they've completed the 12 weeks, and they're issuing graduation certificates to their students, which we encourage them to do, because if you complete this course, you will know more about the history of our nation, more about the original intent of the Constitution, more about the Declaration of Independence than 99%, perhaps even more than 99% of the people in our land, because most people don't read it, they don't study it, and they don't know what the original intent of our founding fathers actually was. So we encourage people to take this good news about our nation's Christian heritage and foundation and tell everyone they possibly can through using the host kit of Institute on the Constitution.
And of course, if you don't know what our history is, how can you understand what's going on now and what the future holds? There are people who want a dictatorship. That's really what it's all about. It's always been that way. And our founding fathers, realizing the imperfection of man, that he was basically sinful, and there were always those who would become tyrants, set up a federal system where the power of the government was limited by the chains of the Constitution. For as Thomas Jefferson said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down from the mischief with the chains of the Constitution. Well, they've taken those chains off the politicians, and they're forging them for the people. Mm-hmm. This is what the Patriot Act is all about. You know, if we were really involved in a war on terrorism, the government would be, do everything they could to have our pilots armed, have people on the airplanes. There would be marshals on every airplane. They know that they're telling us a lot of material that just isn't true. We would have sealed our border long ago. We would have material on our planes to detract if somebody fired a shoulder, the air missile at one of our planes. They would be trying to protect the people on the planes. They know that they've created this impression. Yes, there was a terrible attack on September 11th. But, of course, somebody knew it was going to occur ahead of time, and you'll want to get my April newsletter. We'll give you a great deal of documentation on that, and you certainly need my February and March newsletters as well. But let's get back here to David Whitney and from the Institute of the Constitution. It is so important that our listeners understand this basic concept that America is unique among all nations, because in the Declaration of Independence, which was our founding document, they said that our rights came from God and that governments were instituted among men to preserve those God-given rights. That's what it was all about. That's right. That's why we're different. Isn't it amazing they never teach that in school today, David?
And they don't want people to know that, because if you recognize that your rights are given to you by God, then if the government comes along and says, excuse me, but we decided to take away your rights, if you don't know that those rights were given to you by God, you'll just lay down and let the government take away your rights. And that's what, like you say, the Patriot Act and many such programs are accomplishing, stripping Americans of their God-given rights. And our founders understood that God had a plan, and in through the course of history, he was unfolding that plan, and Christopher Columbus played a very important role in that. Let me just read what Christopher Columbus said about naming the first island which he had landed. He said, to the first island which I found, I gave the name San Salvador, that is, Holy Savior, in recognition of His Heavenly Majesty, who marvelously has given all this to us. And so he was giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ in naming the very first island that he landed on in the Indies.
And the great, great tragedy is that there have been those who would, besmirch the name of Christopher Columbus, just like there are those that attacked the film The Passion. Why? Well, some of them really don't understand, but there's a conscious effort to undermine the Christian faith here in this country today. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to mention that we carry the Berkey products. We carry the Big Berkey, and we carry the Berkey Light. Now, the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It filters about 2.5 gallons of water at a time, used by missionaries for 150 years. You can filter pond water and pool water and lake water and river water, and you get come up with potable water, and that's what the missionaries do to prevent disease. Now, it uses ceramic filters that are packed with activated carbon, and they can be repeatedly cleaned to last for a good long while. The Big Berkey is $279 plus $10 in shipping. If you buy it through us, you get either a free video or a free 4-tape set that we have produced, and we recommend this to you. The problem is that it's available in every state except California and Iowa. However, we have here the Berkey Light, and the Berkey Light is made of Lexan. That's what they make bulletproof glass out of, so you can shoot a bullet at it and it won't do that much harm. We don't advise that, however. And then, of course, you have the Black Berkey filters, which are really water purifiers. They do a much better job than the conventional ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. But they will take out all the same things. Though neither the Big Berkey nor the Berkey Light will take out fluoride or lead or arsenic. At least they won't take it all out, although they'll take certainly part of it out. But if you want to get those things specifically out of your water, you need some special post filters that you put on the bottom. The Berkey Light's $199, and we make the same offer as far as the video or 4-tape set. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can see the Berkeys there, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And then we hope you'll want to get one. It's a great gift. It's a great thing to have in uncertain times. Call 1-800-544-8927 now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute on the Constitution. And David has been telling us about Christopher Columbus and his history, his Christian dedication, and this idea that they were going to find people who had never heard of the gospel and bring it to them. And Christopher Columbus was trying to sail to India, going around the world, and that's why he called the islands he found the West Indies. Well, then he was only the first of many explorers, and
right.
Most of our explorers at that time were Christians trying to spread the gospel. So tell the story, some of the other stories.
Yeah, one of the fascinating individuals that we often think of as the first man who circumnavigated the globe is Magellan. Now, of course, technically he did not circumnavigate the globe personally, but his expedition did. And he didn't make it through that expedition because he was killed in a battle. It's interesting to see what the revisionist historians say about how Magellan died. They say things like, well, he got involved in intertribal warfare and was killed as a result of that. But the details they leave out are the important details. Actually, Magellan could have very easily avoided being killed. You see, when he landed in the Philippines, what we know as modern-day Philippines, he, like all the other discoverers, his purpose was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just to explore new places, but he was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a tribe of natives came to faith in Christ. They left their idols, they threw away and burned their pagan idols, and they began worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, they had a neighboring tribe that was not too pleased with their behavior of rejecting the idols that had been worshipped for centuries on the island, and so this native tribe attacked this Christian tribe. Now, Magellan's counselors and advisors advised him, hey, let's leave. You know, this is not a safe situation. We really just need to get out of here and leave these people to their own battle. And Magellan said, no way. We led these people to Christ. These are brothers. I will stand and defend them. And that's what he did. And as a result, he lost his life and was unable to complete the circumnavigation. But you see, it demonstrates that the motivation of Magellan's mission and the desire of his heart was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who had not heard. In this case, it was the people in the Philippines. And many of these explorers have been much maligned, perhaps the most underrated man in Western history is Cortez. When most people think of Cortez, they think of someone who was out for blood and gold and glory for himself. The Curse of Cortez is popular in a current movie, and the whole the whole mention of Cortez brings up an evil picture in people's mind of somebody who is bloodthirsty and somebody who is after gold. But that's not the case at all. If you actually read what Cortez himself said, if you read what his closest fighting general was in the battles, you realize that they had a Christian mission to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to what we call today Central America. And the amazing thing is, if you look at the facts of history, that Cortez was able to conquer the Aztec Empire is just astounding. This was a very highly advanced empire. These were intelligent people. They had a huge army, more than several million people available to Montezuma for his army. And so how in the world could a small band, Cortez's band of 500, how could they possibly conquer the Aztec Empire? Actually, I've stood on the beach in Veracruz where Cortez landed, and he did something very bold and striking once his troops had disembarked. He burned the ships behind them, and they turned around to see their only way of escape going up in flames. And he had a commitment, and he was wanting to be certain that his men understood that commitment, that they were there for good. And as they began to march in towards Mexico City, they came to village after village where they discovered things that were just absolutely shocking. Let me read to you one brief account of a town of Tlaxcala. They found wooden houses, he said, furnished with gratings, full of Indian men and women imprisoned in them, being fed up until they were fat enough to be sacrificed and eaten. These prisons, he says, we broke open and destroyed and set free the prisoners who were in them. And these poor Indians did not dare go in any direction, only to stay there with us and thus escape with their lives. From now on, in all the towns that we entered, the first thing our captain ordered us to do was to break open these prisons and to set the prisoners free. These prisons are common throughout the land, and when Cortez and all of us saw, and this is, by the way, Diaz, his right-hand man that is writing this, when Cortez and all of us saw such great cruelty, he showed that he was very angry with the rulers and quarreled with them very angrily about it, and they promised that from that time forth they would not kill and eat any more Indians in that way. I said to myself, of what benefit were all those promises, for as soon as we turned our heads, they would commit the same cruelties. What they discovered was that the religion that the Aztecs were involved with was a religion that engaged in human sacrifice, sodomy, and cannibalism. You see, the Aztecs worshipped the sun god, and they believed the sun god had a very, very specialized diet given to him by his doctor that said he had to have human blood, and lots of human blood. The human sacrifice was taken living to the top of those pyramid-like temples that you've probably seen pictures, or perhaps some of your listeners have visited there in Mexico, taken there living, and they had their chests slit open while they were alive and their heart pulled out, still beating, and raised up as an act of worship to the sun god. And so when we see those temples, we ought to think of them in what they were truly seen by Cortez and his men the first time they saw them. They were not the white stone that we so easily remember. Instead, they were covered with a sticky, tacky coat of red blood.
And they used to actually sacrifice thousands of people a day on feast days.
Yes.
And people don't know that. They don't teach that part of our the history of that area. And of course, Cortez has been vilified, and yet mm-hmm. he put an end to that.
That's right. They would, after they had sacrificed the heart, and, you know, maybe hopefully your listeners are not eating dinner right now, because then they would cut the head off of the victim, and they would roll the body of the victim down those steep set of steps to the bottom of the pyramid, and the people at the bottom of the pyramid would attack that body and devour the flesh as cannibals. Just, you know, unspeakable evil. And they recognized that these people were in the realm of darkness, that Satan had a grasp on their mind, and Cortez, in every town he went to, he would destroy the idols, and then he would preach to the people the truth about Jesus Christ. You don't need human sacrifices. Jesus Christ died on the cross as the one and only approved and accepted sacrifice for your sins. And so he preached the gospel, and people came to faith in Christ. Well, you know, you wonder how in the world did 500 men conquer this enormous and very powerful Aztec civilization? Well, they didn't conquer it alone. You know, Dr. Stan, as they set these prisoners free, what did these prisoners want? They wanted their freedom secured, and they knew that as long as the Aztecs were in power, their freedom was not secured. If Cortez was gone, the Aztecs would be back, and the Aztecs were going to sacrifice them whenever they had an opportunity to do so. So they understood that the kingdom of the Aztecs had to be destroyed and overthrown for them to have their freedom. And so they joined Cortez's army willingly. Cortez didn't have to draft anybody. They wanted to fight against this evil, especially those who had come to understand faith in Christ. And so his army grew from that small band of 500 to thousands who ultimately were able to overthrow, because that empire had so oppressed and afflicted and abused, thousands of people a day being sacrificed, that it was ripe to be overthrown by those who were so oppressed and their liberty and their right, God-given right, to life, liberty, and freedom had been taken from them. And you know, that's the thing God has planted in the heart of man, a love of liberty and a love of freedom. And he's planted it there because our design is to be free in obedience to God and to his law and to his word. And without that obedience, there is no freedom, as Cortez discovered. You know, it's interesting, God providentially worked the timing of Cortez's arrival there in Veracruz and subsequent march to Mexico City. And it was a very providential timing that Cortez knew nothing about until he discovered later on, as he was told. They had in their religion a god called Quetzalcoatl, and this god had departed from Central America by boat and had gone out to sea across the Mediterranean, and there was a prophecy that he was going to return, and that when he was going to return he would bring freedom and so on. And they calculated by their calendar when this prophecy was going to be fulfilled, and it fell on the exact year that Cortez landed at Veracruz. So God providentially timed his arrival there at Veracruz to prepare the people who were expecting a deliverer, who were expecting somebody to bring them freedom. There was Cortez exactly fulfilling what was a prophecy in their religion. So Cortez has been much maligned, and he should not be so denigrated, because he brought freedom to people who were suffering under cannibalism, human sacrifice, sodomy, and enormous evil and oppression. And sadly, Cortez, like Columbus, has been castigated, and as we said, the history has been twisted and revised so that they do not appear at all as if you were to take a real look at them and their own writings, their own journals, what their fellow soldiers said as they reported on what took place in these campaigns. You know, the rewriters of history, they have an intention and a goal, and that goal is to remove our freedom. In other words, they would love to see us back under the kind of oppression that the Aztecs were bringing to the people of the Americas. And that is the reason why Institute on the Constitution was founded, because if people don't know their history and people don't understand the basis for their freedom, they can easily be enslaved once again. And that's exactly why this is not taught in schools or in colleges, and this is not published widely. You've got to search very hard to find the kind of information, but it's there, and the original sources of what these explorers said about their purpose and their work for God's kingdom is also very clear. Well, in addition to Cortez, there's Coronado and others who explored the world, and of course the Portuguese and the Spanish settled much of South America, Central America, and western part of North America. France, of course, had Father Champlain and Father Marquette and LaSalle and others who came again to bring the gospel to the native peoples of North America. That was their intention. That was their drive. And the English really got into the game rather late in the exploration of the New World. But when they came, they also settled on the East Coast, and in the next lecture, which we'll take a look at a little bit later, we'll discover what God was doing in establishing his kingdom, in a sense, the beachhead for his kingdom in the North American continent. And you know, as I share this information with people, it's an eye-opener. Even people who, you know, maybe 50 years ago were attending elementary school or even longer ago than that, because, as you know, Dr. Stan, for years, the education system in our land has been aimed at destroying the Christian understanding of the history of our nation. And if we understand that history is His story, that is, God's unfolding His plan, and we know that His plan includes taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, then we understand that what took place here in our land, although, you know, as I mentioned, the explorers and Columbus and Cortez, they were not without their errors. They did make mistakes, and sometimes they admitted that they made mistakes, and they saw that they made mistakes. But nonetheless, God used them, even though they were vessels who were not perfect. And God can use each of us, and that's why I'd encourage your listeners to take up the task of restoring our constitutional republic by teaching these truths to their friends and neighbors and churchgoers and the people they know in their community.
And, of course, we see today why many members of the Supreme Court are looking to the United Nations, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the European Union for laws so that we can correlate our laws with theirs. Not one of those countries guarantees anybody any freedom, because all the freedoms are given by government, and whatever government gives, it can take away. Mm-hmm. And this is what the people do not understand. America was unique. America was the light on the hill. It was the hope of all mankind. But there have always been the evil people here, and they've been here since about 1640, the same year that Harvard was established as a university, and they've been working gradually, little bit by little bit, to centralize all power in their hands and to destroy the beliefs of our people. And they did a pretty good job of it. By 1730, we'd become a pretty decrepit country. This was over 120 years after the Pilgrims landed, and then came the First Great Awakening, and the people returned to God, and that same thing happened about 100 years later. It was in 1830 that the evil people once again had corrupted this society, and came the Second Great Awakening. And what we need right now is a Third Great Awakening, but it's not going to happen unless people understand that this country is about to be destroyed. We're being drawn into a war, a series of wars in the Middle East, and I fear that it's going to culminate with a massive nuclear exchange. And as you listened to our program yesterday, you heard Chuck Missler talking about the nuclear-tipped missiles in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, and these missiles can certainly be used against our troops over there. And we've got 150,000 American boys in harm's way, and nobody's even talking about it. Everybody's cheering, isn't it great? We're going to win this war. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to come home, and they're not coming home. If you really believe that, you're incredibly naive. You haven't read our material. But you have to understand that the first thing they want to do is destroy America. And that's why you've got to get this information. Let's give the telephone number again and the place, the website, where people can get this information. They can use it over and over again to teach group after group the most carefully kept secret in America, and that is that at one time we truly were a Christian nation.
Yes, and the host kit, as I mentioned earlier, is very easy to use. We've designed it as a turnkey tool so that you don't have to have any history background, you don't have to be a lawyer, you don't have to be a professor, you don't have to have any background. You just need to have a simple love for your country and a desire to tell people the truth about America, about our history and our heritage. And Dr. John Eisenman does an excellent job in these 12 lectures. We're just kind of walking through his materials on the air here, and he's given us permission to do that and encouragement to do that, because he desires to see our nation returned to its Christian heritage and its Christian foundation. They can call us at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Or go to the web at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com.
All right, fine. Thank you so much for being with us, David. And, of course, looking forward to having you back again next month, when we'll go to the next letter by Dr. John Eidsmo, as we begin to reintroduce the people in our area and across America.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
And your great work, Dr. Stan. I'd really appreciate the work that you are doing across our nation.
Thanks so very much, David. Bye-bye, and we'll talk to you later.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hopker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment of the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we carry the book FedEd. It goes into the No Child Left Behind put forward by the Bush administration, which was really Ted Kennedy's legislation, but the Republicans got it through. And remember, I'm a lifelong Republican, but you have to let people know the truth, because at the leadership of both parties, they got the same goal. What this program is to destroy the love of country and family. That's what the purpose of the No Child Left Behind program is, and you'll really get a great deal of information by reading the book. And then we have a four-tape set of four interviews with Alan Quist and Senator Brochman from Minneapolis, from Minnesota. She's a state senator, and people who have information on what this is all about. Let me suggest that you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for FedEd, the book, or ask for FedEd, the four-tape set, or better still, get both of them together at a reduced price. And then, of course, we have Charlotte Isabey's wonderful book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Charlotte was actually in the Department of Education. She held a very, very high position there as an analyst. And when she found out that during the Reagan administration, they were actually planning to merge the American and the Soviet system as far as education, and we were going to have this program where eventually your child's not going to have a chance to determine what they want to be. They'll be told what they want to be and what jobs are needed out there, workforce education. It's all part of a program to control you from the cradle to the grave. And it's in force. The book is called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And then we have the book, it's entitled Outcome-Based Education by Pamela Hobbs Hopker and Pat Lutzik. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really would appreciate your help. If you believe there's a problem out there and you'd like to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure, we hope you'll give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and becoming part of our team of supporters. So if you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of our newsletter, and the March newsletter tells you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings in the White House in January and February of the year 2001. That's 8 to 9 months before the 9/11 attack. What were they talking about? Well, you're not going to hear from Rush Limbaugh or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Bill O'Reilly, but you'll read it in my newsletter, because it's taken from Paul O'Neill's book. He was the Secretary of the Treasury, and he attended the meetings. And he was rather shocked by what was going on. He didn't understand what was going on. And that's one reason why he wasn't at all adverse to leaving the Bush administration. We're a quote from his book, The Price of Loyalty. And then, of course, we tell you what General Odom, the head of the most secret of all the intelligence agencies, said about CIA assassinations, about CIA having journalists planted in the media here in this country, a total violation of the law. But then who's going to, you know, report the CIA's violations of the law to? The CIA, the FBI, they all work together. They have a new agenda. It's called a one world order, a new world religion. And tragically, although there may be good people at the lower levels of these organizations, the people in charge have a different worldview, a different agenda. So you really need to get a copy of my March newsletter. You'll even find out what happened on the morning of September 11th as they monitored the plane that came in to attack the Pentagon. It's all from Norman Mineta's testimony on the 23rd of May of last year, but it was testimony before the 9/11 Commission, and not a word of it got into the media. How could you keep something like that out? Why, because the CIA has people planted in the media. That's how you will hear certain things, but there's certain things that you will never, never hear. So we do hope many of you will want to certainly get our material. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by itself or with a video, and the audio tape is the Brotherhood of Darkness special at $29.95. And then you want to get my video, The Iraq, The Untold Story, because it will explain that all of the wars of the last century were contrived. The Gulf of Tonkin incident didn't take place. We were manipulated into the First World War by people who had a different agenda, and the agenda is really all the same. The New World Order, the New World Religion. The reason we have to have a Third World War is there's going to have to be so much horror and death and destruction that the American people will say, as the people of Europe said after the First World War, we've got to have a world government. And that's what it's really all about. And behind that are the demonic forces, the spiritual wickedness in high places that you'll read about in Ephesians. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get our newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. We do want to mention there's going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held in San Jose or Santa Clara over Memorial Day weekend. That's the 29th and 30th. If you want more information about that, why you call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website, conspiracycon.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because we're involved in a great spiritual battle, and the average individual doesn't understand that unless America turns back to God, God will never again bless this nation. And I really tremble for my country, as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers who should be leading this battle. A retired orthopedic surgeon shouldn't be spending 5 hours a day telling people we're involved in a spiritual battle. And we have a few wonderful ministers out there that are getting the message out, but so many seem to be more interested in church growth than they do in church purity and the purity of the scriptures. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.